Hey everyone, I'm Dale, the kids pastor here, and I've got a quick question for everyone, and it's a put up your hand kind of question. I'm going to give you two options. Who here likes eating meat? Hands up. Hands up if you don't like eating meat. All right, you know what? I reckon that covers everyone in the whole place. That covers everyone. Everyone either likes eating meat or doesn't eat meat. And the good news for you is this passage, Paul talks about eating meat and he talks about not eating meat. So we're all covered here. All right, there's something here for everyone. Actually, this is the Word of God, and so there's always something here for everyone. And whether you're a kid or a teen or an adult or someone else who's managed to slip in here, there is something here for you. My aim is to teach this passage to everyone. And kids, I am confident that you guys will be able to focus hard. You've got that little booklet, which I'll get you to start drawing in soon. Just hold off for the moment. But yeah, I'm confident that we're all going to get some good stuff out of this. And today, we're up to, the adults and the youth have been working their way through 1 Corinthians. Today, we're up to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And what's been going on is Paul and the church in Corinth, they've been chatting, all right? They've been writing each other's letters. And the Corinthians have written some questions to Paul. They've been asking him some stuff. And so now he's started answering some questions. Last week, the last 2 weeks, we saw some questions about marriage, and he had plenty to say there. And today, it's a question about food that's been sacrificed to idols. Actually, look at verse 1 there. All right, you can see it's there. Kids, if you got your Bible, have a look down. Or you can look on your parents' Bible if you don't. But verse 1, now, about food sacrificed to idols. He's just introing it. It's like, this is what you asked me about. I'm going to talk about it. I get asked questions by kids all the time. Like, so many questions. Kids love asking questions. Keep going, kids. It's good. But I don't think I've ever been asked a question about food being sacrificed to idols. I've never had someone come and be like, Dale, what's up? Like, am I allowed to eat food sacrificed to idols? It's not really a thing that we deal with heaps here in Australia. We don't think about it too much. We're not super familiar with it. So let me tell you, this is what happened back in the day. There were people who believed in other gods, all right? They had these idols. And what they would do is they'd make a sacrifice to that idol to be like, oh, maybe this god will do something good for me. I really want some rain. Please, God, let it... Or that god. Please, that god. Let it rain. I'm going to sacrifice a cow or a sheep or a goat or something. I'm going to get the meat all ready for the barbecue and I'll hopefully the God will do something good for me. But what they also used to do was, I mean, a cow's pretty big, all right? They're not going to eat a whole cow in one go. And so what they'd do was they'd get a whole bunch of that meat that's ready for the barbecue and they'd go to the markets and sell it. They didn't have supermarkets back then. They just had regular markets. And so you'd rock up to the regular market and there'd be meat. And you'd be like, oh yeah, I might buy some of this meat. Chances are it's been sacrificed to an idol. Now, kids, page 1, I want you to draw a picture of meat being sacrificed to an idol. How do you do that? Well, I had a crack. All right. Look at that. Barbecue, got some kebab, sausages. And that thing on the left, that weird, or is it the right? Right, it's meant to be an idol. It's like, imagine a bit of wood and someone's kind of carved a weird looking face into it and then they start worshipping it. Pretty crazy. And they're about as good at art as I am with their carving. Anyway, now, you can understand why eating food sacrificed to an idol might be an issue that these Christians are concerned about. Because if we believe that Jesus is God, is it okay to eat meat that has been sacrificed to a different god? If we do that, does that mean that we're worshipping that god? That'd be bad, right? We don't believe in other gods. But the people who sacrificed to those gods, they believed it was a real god. So is eating meat sacrificed to idols okay? Now, Paul, he's an absolute classic, right? What he does is he gets asked a question. He's like, yeah, cool, I'll answer the question, but I want to go deeper with you. I want to show you some really deep principles, some deep truths that will help you to be able to answer that question, and it'll actually be able to help you answer all these questions that you haven't even asked yet. A little bit like Herdy sometimes, all right? I'm going to go deep, Paul says, and that's what he does here. All right, he did it with marriage, and he does it here again to help us to be able to follow Jesus in everything. And the big question that he raises for us here is, what is more important, knowledge or love? Truth or concern for people? Being right or being loving? What is more important? See, some Christians think that truth is so important and being right just matters so much that it doesn't even matter how you feel about it when I tell you. I'm going to tell you that what is right in a way that I don't care if you cry, all right? I don't care if you get all banged up about it because it's right. I'm right, so whatever, all right? They just don't care. They're just going to be blunt and not worry. Some Christians, other Christians will say, yeah, truth is important. It's good to tell the truth, but like we've just got to get along. We really just need to love each other. And actually, that truth is going to hurt that person. And so I'm not going to hold on to that truth right now because it's more important to be loving right now. See how some people can fall in different places with knowledge and love, and different churches land in different places, and we tend to land in a certain place. What is more important, knowledge or love? And kids, I want you to draw on page 2 a picture of a brain versus a heart. All right? Yeah, gory. I had a crack. I had to copy that heart. I'm not that good at art. I'm sitting there going, anyway, there you go. What should be more important to us as Christians, knowledge or love? And to work that out, we're going to look at Paul's answer to food sacrificed to idols. And we'll be able to work out what's more important. So the plan is we're going to look at what the deal with idols is. And we're going to see two things. We're going to see the idols are deadly, and we're going to see the idols aren't deadly. Get into that. And then we'll be able to answer the question about love and knowledge. Does that sound all right to everyone? Yep? No? I'll take that as a yes. I'm going to pray, and we'll dig in. Father God, thank you so much that you love us, that you are full of knowledge, and we do pray that you would help me to speak clearly now. You would help us to understand the truth of your word and know how to act as your people. Amen. All right, so the first thing to say about idols is that they're deadly. Now, it's a weird thing to say. Why are idols deadly? Because idols are normally like a statue or something of an animal. Surely if we got a real animal in, that would be more deadly. Like if I sent a statue cow out amongst you, not going to do much damage. If I sent a real cow out amongst you, woo, chaos, all right? What is deadly about idols? Well, I want to say they are very, very deadly. And the Corinthians, they thought they were deadly. And they knew they were deadly because of Israel's history with idols. They knew what the deal had been, and so we're going to have a quick look at Israel's history with idols to see why this is actually a question for the Corinthians. So flick back with me to Exodus 20. Kids, you might need to help your parents find it. Second book of the Bible. And Exodus 20 has the Ten Commandments. You might have heard of them. They're the big ones in the Old Testament, the big laws. God has just rescued his people from being slaves in Egypt. All right, he's brought them out. He's shown them that he's the one true God. And then he gets Moses to go up this place called Mount Sinai, and he gives him all these laws about how God's people should live. A bunch of rules. And the first one there is in verse 3. He says, "You shall have no other gods before me." What he's saying is, you can only worship me. I'm the only God. There are no other gods. Don't worship them. And then the next verse, he gives a second command, which is similar, but it gets a bit more specific. Look at verse 4. "You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments." Help me out here, that second commandment. What does he forbid them from doing? What are they not allowed to do? Have any idols. They're not allowed to have any idols. They're not allowed to make idols. They're not allowed to worship idols. Exactly. That's not what they're not allowed to do. He says, don't make a statue or an image of anything. and then start worshiping. That's an idol. And that is a massive no. Don't do it. And so, kids on page 3, I want you to draw a picture of no idols, all right? Something like that. Not allowed to have idols. And God says he's actually going to punish people if they do worship idols. In fact, check this out. Flick over just a couple of pages to Exodus 32. See, this is what's happening while Moses is up on the mountain getting the laws about not having idols. He's getting that right now. And he's been up there for like, I don't know, 40 days getting the commands. And have a look at what's going on down the bottom of the mountain. There in verse 1. Kids, you can look on as well. When the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what's happened to him." Aaron answered them, "Take off your gold earrings that your wives, your sons, and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me." So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they'd handed him and made it into an idol, cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, "These are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt." What? What are you doing? God is literally telling them right now, don't make idols. And so what are they doing? Making idols. You're onto it. They're doing they have just seen God rescue them out of Egypt. He's shown them that he's the one true God. He's poured plagues on the Egyptians for not believing in him. He's rescued them out of it. And they can't even wait 40 days before they start worshiping another god. They start making an idol. And this is where idols get deadly. Because God gets really angry in this story. They make this idol, and he goes, all right, through Moses, he goes, "Levites, you need to go out and take people down." They run around with swords, and they kill 3,000 people that day. And God looks out, and he goes, nah, still not enough. And he sends a plague on the people of Israel. God is angry with the Israelites for their idols. That is not a good day for them. What were they thinking? And surely they learned the lesson there, right? Wrong. 500 years later, they've still got more idols in between, but 500 years later, what happens is the kingdom, it splits, all right? So let's say 10 of the tribes, you guys over here, all right? 10 of the tribes, they're the northern kingdom, and they go with this king called Jeroboam, all right? And Jeroboam, he's like, oh yeah, what's up? 10 tribes, doing pretty good. And then he looks over in the two tribes over there and he says, oh, but that's Jerusalem. That's where the temple is, in their territory. If my people go back there and worship God over there, then maybe they'll follow those kings. So, I know, I've got it. I'm going to make 2 golden calves. So he makes 2 golden calves and puts them in his territory so his people can come and worship there. Oh, what are you thinking? All right. Idols. God gets angry and the idols never leave this northern kingdom until God eventually sends another country called Assyria and just totally wipes them out. Idols are deadly. And then this 2 tribes over here called Judah, the southern kingdom, they're watching all this happen and they're going, oh yeah, we're not doing that. Right? Wrong. They're watching all that and they go, oh, why don't we have a try? So they make idols. Now, they're a little bit more up and down. One king's like, woohoo, idols. And then the next king's like, oh, get rid of idols. And the next king's like, woohoo, idols. And then the next king's like, no, get rid of idols. But it's still a problem for this group over here, such that God ends up sending the Babylonians and they take them captive away. They become slaves for a whole bunch of time. And they would have stayed there if God wasn't so incredible and loving and gracious and rescued them back. Do you see how deadly idols are? Israel, God's people, just gets obliterated by idols. They are deadly because they make God angry. And it is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Kids, I want you to draw a picture of idols being deadly on page 4. Something like this. Deadly. He worshipped idols. There you go. But why? Why are idols, why does God hate idols so much? Why do they make him angry? The Bible gives us a few main reasons, two big ones. The first one is, there is only one God. And so to worship something else as if it's God is incredible rebellion against the true God. It's saying that he's not God, that something else is worth more than he is. He's not going to put up with that. And actually, on top of it, when we say that there's something else worth more than God, we're actually ruining ourselves, because worshiping God is who we were made to be. And God loves us. He wants the best for us. So if we go chasing off after some other God, he knows that we're not going to find any life there. Of course, the true and living God can't stand for us worshiping something else as God. That's the first reason that idols make him angry. But the second one, it's a bit trickier. And I reckon it's worth us working it out. And I'm going to show it to you from Deuteronomy, just a couple of books over. Flick over to Deuteronomy 4. Kids, you can look on as well. But in Deuteronomy 4, Moses is given a speech to the Israelites just before he dies. And look what he says down there in verse 15. You saw no form of any kind the day the Lord spoke to you at Horeb, that's Mount Sinai, out of the fire. Therefore, watch yourselves very carefully so that you do not become corrupt, and make for yourselves an idol, an image of any shape, whether formed like a man or a woman, or like any animal on earth, or any bird that flies in the air, or any creature that moves along the ground, or any fish in the waters below. He wants to give them no reason to, like, you can't make an idol out of anything. But what's the reason that he gives? Have a look at verse 15. Kids, adults, I'm not worried who calls it out. What's the reason that he gives there in verse 15? Why can't they make an idol? What didn't they see? They saw no form. They saw no form. That is, they haven't seen God. They haven't seen his body. Because he doesn't have a body. They didn't see any form. And it's because God doesn't have a form. He doesn't have a body. The God-man Jesus, he has a body, but that's because he is God-man. So it makes sense that he has a body. God doesn't have a body. John 1 tells us that no one has ever seen God. Now, why is that important? And what does that have to do with idols? Well, it's because of this picture that I want kids to draw on page, what are we up to, five? Page five, all right, this picture here, all right? Kids, I want you to start drawing it, and I'm going to explain. Do you see how everything on this side of the line, there's everything on this side of the line and God is on the other side. Do you see that? There's God and then there's everything else. Everything on this side of the line is something that was created by God. It was made. You got people, trees, weird looking duck, all right? Everything was created by God and depends on him for its existence. If he wanted to, he could just click his fingers and boom, elephant disappears. Gone forever. He can, because he's that powerful. He made it. It depends on him. All right? There is one thing on this side of the line, one person on this side of the line. Who is it? It's God. God is the only one who was never created. He never had to be created because he's just got this life in him. It's bubbling away, just always there. He's always been around. He never needed to be made. He is the only one on that side of the line. He is something else. He is transcendent. He is eternal. He is holy. He is the King of Kings, the God immortal. And then you have idols, which is people on this side of the line, right? You see little people down there? People on that side of the line grabbing stuff like wood or metal from that side of the line, making it look like animals or people from that side of the line, and then being like, check it out. We got something from this side of the line. Look, this is a god.
How would you feel if the people that you made used the things that you gave them to pretend like you're not real? And was like, this is my God. This is the one that I'm going to worship. This is more important than you are, more valuable than you are. That is incredibly offensive. And that is what our entire world has done to God. In different ways. In our part of the world, people tend to worship money, themselves, their families, their stomachs. All things on this side of the line. But there's only one God who gives life. And he is rightly angry and rightly punishes the sin of idolatry. How incredible it is that he hasn't wiped us all out yet. He is so patient, so loving. What love it is for him in the person of his son to actually cross the line and become part of creation, take on a body. Jesus has a body forever now. And not only did he get a body, but he died to take the punishment that we deserve, to turn us back to worship the true God. That is incredible. If we understand how thick that line is, that is an incredible thing that he has done. What an awesome God he is. But do you see the point? Idols are deadly. Because if we worship them, we reject God the Creator, the King, and we deserve the punishment of death. This is why the Corinthians are worried about eating meat sacrificed to idols. They don't want to worship a different God. Idols are deadly. And I just want us to pause for a second here, and I want you to think, is there something in your heart that is in danger of becoming an idol? That's in danger of being more important to you than God? Is there something in your life that you worship other than God? What is it you spend your money on? What is it that you think about most of the time? What is it that you love more deeply than anything else? Might be in danger of becoming an idol. Is there something that you need to repent of there? Kids on page 6, I want you to draw a picture of something that you think might be a danger for you of becoming an idol. Idols are deadly. That's my first point. My second point is, idols aren't deadly. Wait, what? Didn't I just say that idols are deadly? Now I'm saying that they're not deadly? I'm glad you guys are listening. Glad you're paying attention. I did, all right? That's exactly what I said. So what do I mean? Well, come back with me to 1 Corinthians 8. And Paul tells us a bit more about what idols really are. So have a look at 1 Corinthians 8. We're going to look at verse 4. Kids, have a look or a listen, because I'm going to ask you a question about this. So then, about eating food sacrificed to idols, we know that an idol is nothing at all in the world and that there is no God but one. What's an idol? Kids, shout it out. Nothing! It's nothing at all. An idol is nothing. It's a false god. It's a fake god, a pretend god. In and of itself, an idol has no power. It's got no breath. It's got no life. It is a completely lifeless fraud of a god. And we know that, don't we? People just use materials to make, you know, that they've just got lying around to make idols. They don't magically become divine. They don't magically become a god. Actually, listen, this is really profound. Have a listen to what Isaiah says about idols that get made. Now, I'm going to read from Isaiah 44:13 for those of you playing at home. It's a big chunk, all right? And I reckon just listen, all right? You can chase it up later, read it again afterwards, but I'm going to read a decent chunk. Have a listen to this. The carpenter measures with a line and makes an outline with a marker. He roughs it out with chisels and marks it with compasses. He shapes it in human form in all its glory, that it may dwell in a shrine. He cuts down cedars, or perhaps took a cypress or oak. He let it grow among the trees of the forest, or planted a pine, and the rain made it grow. It is used as fuel for burning. Some of it he takes and warms himself. He kindles a fire and bakes bread. But he also fashions a god and worships it. He makes an idol and bows down to it. Half of the wood he burns in the fire. Over it he prepares his meal. He roasts his meat and eats his fill. He also warms himself and says, "Ah, I am warm. I see the fire." From the rest, he makes a god, his idol. He bows down to it and worships. He prays to it and says, "Save me, you are my God." They know nothing. They understand nothing. Their eyes are plastered over so they can't see. Their minds are closed so they cannot understand. No one stops to think. No one has the knowledge or understanding to say, "Half of it I used for fuel. I even baked bread over its coals. I roasted meat and I ate. Shall I make a detestable thing from what's left? Shall I bow down to a block of wood?" Do you hear what he's saying there? Idols that are made from wood are just wood. There's a tree. You pull a branch off, set it on fire. No worries. Pull another branch off and you make a god out of it? That's not a god. It's a bit of wood. It's a fake. It can't breathe. It can't talk. It can't think. It is completely, utterly, and useless. So kids, on page 7, I want you to draw a picture of an idol being fake. Just like that one. That's what Paul means when he says that an idol is nothing. He's like, we know it's got no power. We know it's not a real god. It's just metal or wood or whatever it's made out of. An idol's nothing. And what does he say there in verse 4? So he says, an idol is nothing at all in the world, and that there is no god but one. There is a real God, but there's only one real God, only one true God who is alive. And guys, that's our God. That's our God. Even though lots of people call lots of different things gods, they aren't real gods. Hindus have millions of different things that they have worshipped as gods over the years. Do you know how many of them are real gods? None. Paul recognized that there are lots of different things that people call gods. Look at verse 5. For even if there are so-called gods, whether in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is but one God, the Father from whom all things came and for whom we live. And there is but one Lord, Jesus Christ, through whom all things came and through whom we live. Although people call lots of different things gods, there's only one. There's only one God. And actually, when Paul says that it's God the Father, he's not saying that Jesus isn't God. What he's saying is, out of all the different things that people call gods, which one's real? The God that we know as Father. And actually, he's the same God that we know as in the person of the Son, Jesus, and in the person of his Spirit. There's only one God, and idolatry tries to worship something else as God, but nothing else is God, and so idols are nothing. And do you know what that means about food sacrificed to idols? It doesn't matter. It's sacrificed to nothing. It's sacrificed to a bit of wood. It's okay to be eaten. It's like this, right? Just to help us realize that idols are nothing. All right, I wanted to try to show you in some way. And what was it that the Israelites kept making? They kept making idols that looked like calves, right? So I've got something here that looks a little bit like a golden calf, all right? Check this out, all right? Now, just so we're all clear, bit of cardboard, all right, bit of paint. This thing here, this is nothing. All right, it's a picture, it looks like a calf. All right, if I kick it, falls down, all right? Can't do anything. This is cardboard, all right? And do you see how this is nothing? All right, do you see how this is nothing? It was a weird request when I asked someone to make me a golden calf for church. But this is nothing, okay? Now, And Paul tells us that idols are nothing. He does. Idols aren't deadly, but what would be a problem, and I need to stress this, do not do this. Do not do this now. Do not do this at home. What would be a problem is if someone started worshipping this hunk of cardboard. Don't do it, all right? This is nothing. But if you started worshipping this thing, that would be an issue because you've stopped worshipping God. Imagine if someone stopped worshipping Jesus to start worshipping this thing. That'd be devastating, wouldn't it? All right? Because Jesus died so that they might have eternal life. And here they are throwing that away, worshipping some weird looking, well, it's a cow, isn't it? What are they doing? We can see that an idol is deadly, but only if we worship it. But an idol isn't deadly if we know that it's a fake god. Actually, it's no god at all. And so, is eating meat sacrificed to idols okay? Maybe. Another twist in the tale. You were thinking I was going to say yes, Ed, didn't you? Maybe. It's maybe okay. Because this is the bit where Paul wants to go deeper. He wants to give these guys a principle that will help the Corinthians, will actually help us to be able to not just answer this question, but answer a whole bunch of questions. Know how to live for Jesus in life. This is where he brings us back to the knowledge versus love question. What's more important, knowledge or love? And to dig into this, I'm going to need to get two kids up to help do some acting. So I'm going to need two volunteers. I don't know. This is really hard to pick. I should pick quickly, shouldn't I? All right, yes, come on down. And I'm probably going to need a boy. Will, come on down. All right. Now, this is exciting, all right, isn't it? What are we going to do? Now, what's your name?
Tanika.
Thank you, Tanika. And Will. I did know that. All right, Will, you're over this side. All right, now, you guys need to act out and do what I say. All right, this is going to be exciting. Now, in Corinth, there were two different kinds of people, all right? There were people over here who Tanika is acting out, who knew what we've just been talking about. Idols are nothing, all right? She knows that idols are nothing. That's good. We've got people over here who used to worship idols, who still think that idols are real gods. We're just not going to worship them anymore, okay? That's two people. Now, have a look at what Paul says to these people over here. I think it's there in verse 9, is it? Look at verse 9. Listen to what he says to Tanika's people over here. Be careful, however, that you act that the exercise of your rights does not become a stumbling block to the weak. For if someone with a weak conscience, Will over here, sees you, Tanika, with all your knowledge, eating in an idol's temple, won't that person become emboldened to eat what has been sacrificed to idols? So this weak brother or sister for whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. What's going on here? Well, let's play it out. All right? Tanika. Now, don't do it, Tanika. All right? Don't do it. She used to worship idols, all right, before she was a Christian. So can you just stand next to the idol, all right? She used to worship idols. But then she became a Christian and realized, no, Jesus is the king. Jesus died for me. I can have eternal life if I trust in him. And so she's like, I don't want anything to do with idols. So she sticks her hand out at the idols and she walks as far away as she can all the way over here, away from the idols. She's like, I don't want anything to do with these idols. I don't want to worship other gods. What's going on with that? Great job, Tanika. You were smashing it, all right? Then along comes Will, all right? Now, Will, he's a mature Christian. He's been around for, you know, 30, 40 years or so, and he knows idols are nothing. He sees some meat sacrificed to idols. He's like, cool, that's all right. It's a bit of meat. It's a fake god, whatever. So he comes right up near the idol, and he doesn't worship it, all right? We know he doesn't do that, but he eats the meat that's been sacrificed to the idol. So can you eat some meat for me? Oh, yes, that's good, all right? He's eating the meat, having a good time. Now, here's where it gets tricky, because Tanika over here, she sees Will eating meat that's been sacrificed to an idol, and she's like, yeah. She's like, wait, is that okay? Am I allowed to do that? Am I allowed to worship other gods? So she comes on over, and she's she's a little bit unsure, but then she's like, okay, cool, I'm going to eat some meat that's sacrificed to idols. And she starts worshipping other gods, which is a really big problem, because how many gods are there? One. Oh my goodness. Can you guys give these two a round of applause as they head back to their seats? That was excellent. Now, here's the problem, right? We'll see the problem in verse 11. Have a look down in verse 11. Talking about the Tanika people. So this weak brother or sister for whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. What he says is that we actually have the power to destroy someone, to ruin their faith. What that means for that Tanika person in that category is she stopped worshipping Jesus only. What does that mean for her? Well, it means that that person who does that won't be going to heaven. They'll be going to hell, punished for their sin. Jesus died for them, but in our knowledge, we actually trip them up. How devastating is that? But look down, kids too, at verse 13. Look at what Paul says, because he doesn't want to do anything that would cause a brother or sister to get tripped up. Therefore, verse 13, if what I eat causes my brother or sister to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause them to fall. He so loves his siblings in Christ that he's willing to go without for their good. He won't ever eat meat again if it causes if it hurts one of his fellow Christians. Wow. I love meat. But it is totally worth not eating meat for my brother or sister's soul, isn't it? That's big what Paul says. But it's because he loves these people. And this is where we actually get our answer to the knowledge versus love question. Knowledge is dangerous. It can puff someone up and cause us to really hurt one another. Whereas love, it builds one another up and always tries to look out for each other. Now, does this mean that knowledge is the bad thing? No, doesn't mean that. Paul, he was full of knowledge. What I should have said, actually, is that knowledge by itself is dangerous. But when knowledge leads to love, that is a great thing. If we know something, we should use what we know to love others for their good. We should grow in knowledge, but as we grow in knowledge, we should grow in love and should always make us more loving. So kids, back on page 2, I want you to change the, you know how it's a brain versus heart? I want you to get rid of the verses and I want you to draw a big arrow that says knowledge leads to love. Guys, we belong to a knowledge-rich church. Kids, lots of you know more about God from the Bible than I reckon about 50% of pastors in the world, right? We live in a knowledge-rich church, but that is very dangerous if it stays as knowledge. We as a church must be a loving church. If we are a church full of knowledge, then we ought to be a church full of love. And there are many examples that I see of people loving one another, and it is something to praise God for. But not enough. It's never enough, is it? I think so often about, as I've been reading this, I've been thinking about how often I fail to love the way that I ought. Now, how is it that this passage actually plays out for us? Because eating food sacrificed to idols isn't a huge deal for us. Although it might be if you have a Buddhist or a Hindu friend, might pop up for you sometime. But where does the rubber really hit the road? Because trying to find a modern day version of this issue is actually really tricky. There's lots of little pieces in here that trying to find the same, I don't know if in growth groups you were struggling, is this the same kind of thing? Is that different? You know, there are some examples of where these principles play out. I'm not going to push into those right now because I want to push into the deep thing. And this helps us to answer all those things. You can come and ask me later. But here's the big thing that Paul really wants the Corinthians to get, and it's what I really want you to get this morning, adults, kids. What we do has an impact on one another. We have the ability to build up or destroy one another. You have power. Whether you're a kid, a teenager, or an adult, you have power over others at church here. You have the power to build them up or destroy them. So can I just get everyone, have a quick look around, all right? Don't do it for too long. You don't want to accidentally catch eye gaze with someone. That would be super awkward. Just have a super quick look around at each other here, all right? Have a super quick look around. These people that you're looking at, do you know what? They have souls. They are going to live forever. And you have the power to build them up or to destroy them. You have that power. Don't underestimate it. You can help them get to heaven, or you can help them turn away by the things that you say, by the things that you do. Man, I don't want to do anything that would hurt one of these people's souls. Use your knowledge to love one another, to love these people, to point them to Jesus. You know, you have the freedom to do whatever you want after church. You got the freedom to do whatever you want. But let's not just settle for little chit-chat, adults. Let's not just play kids. Let's talk about Jesus. Yes, we can do those other things, but let's talk about Jesus. Let's keep Jesus on one another's radar during the week. Help them to keep living for him. Jesus died for us. Let's love one another like he loves us. And to do that, we need to be very intentional, very purposeful. What are you doing to actively love your brothers and sisters here at church? This isn't just a club that we're a part of. This isn't a game. This is eternity. This is the family of God. Let's love one another like that's true. I'm going to pray. Father God, thank you so much that you have loved us. You know us, you know what we need, and you sent Jesus to die for us. Father, I pray that you would help us to love one another like you love us. Father, I pray for the kids and the teenagers and the adults, for all of us, that we would so love one another that other people look on and see our love and realize how much love you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen.